We're in the 23rd Psalm. You might think, well, I know I can quote this psalm. I know it by heart. I've read it 100 times. I've heard it preached from hundreds of times. I've heard Sunday school lessons about it hundreds of times. There's nothing more I can learn from it. Now, you might be describing yourself because you've been saturated with it and you don't think there's any room for anything else. But when you say there's nothing else from learn from it, you also reflect on God. Because God has the ability to teach us something new, even from something we've looked at and studied hundreds of times. And so I just ask you to keep an open mind this morning and look for, listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks, and he might just show you something new from this psalm. This is the fifth lesson in our six-week series, God Is. And we've been talking about the different names of God. Names are important. It's actually in part of the lesson this morning. For his name's sake, but a person's name brings to mind their personality, their character, the essence of what that person is. So once you get to know that person, when you hear their name, it's not just, you know, a designation, but it reminds you of who that person is. Now, the same thing should be true of God. Throughout the Bible, God has revealed to us different names for himself. Each one of those names teach us something about him, something about his character, about who he is. And so as we talk about these names, we'll discover not only who he is, but what he wants to be in our life. Okay? And again, he'll only be that in our life if we let him. I thought about that as we're going to talk about it when we get to verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the author makes the point, and I'll make it again when we get to that verse, that David didn't have to go beg God for his goodness and mercy. They followed him everywhere he went. All he had to do was let himself be caught. Huh? All he had to do was let himself be caught, and he would have the goodness and mercy of God. And so God wants to be our shepherd, but he'll never force himself on us. He'll make himself available. He'll make himself, the things that a shepherd does for a person, he'll make those things available to us. But we as sheep get to make that choice. Sometimes we're more like donkeys than we are sheep. We're stubborn and we don't yield. And we don't follow, and we don't listen to the shepherd, but that's what he wants to be in our life. And so, again, just to remind you, we've talked about God as our provider, that he's able to meet all our needs. We've talked about he's our healer. He's the only one that can restore us and make us whole. He's our banner. We are always covered by the banner of his protection. He's our peace. His peace helps us rise above any circumstance. And then he's our shepherd, what we're going to talk about this morning. God guides us as he walks with us. The Bible often describes us, people, human beings, as acting like sheep. Left to ourselves, we'll wander away. We'll put ourselves in harm's way, and left to ourselves, we won't be able to find our way back. Sheep are dumb animals. They will do that, exactly those things. They'll separate themselves from the flock. They'll put themselves in danger and not think about it for a minute. And they don't know how to get back to the flock. And so the Bible says, hey, you talking to us, you as human beings, the sheep paint a pretty good picture of you. But the Bible also paints a picture as of God as a shepherd of the sheep. He's the one who will guide us if we'll allow him. He was the one who will protect us. He's the one that will provide and comfort us. And Psalm 23 is probably one of the most beautiful psalms in the scripture. It paints a picture of God as our shepherd. Written by David. Of course, David was a shepherd, so he could understand what a shepherd needed to do for the sheep. And in that context, he could understand what God wanted to do for him. Probably written later in life. Probably not written when he was a young man out watching the sheep, but later in life, where he could look back on his life and see the difficult times he had gone through, see the valleys he'd gone through, see the different situations he'd been in, and see how God had cared for him during those times. And so this former shepherd describes the great shepherd who guided him, walked with him, and gave him the security that he had. Now, we no longer live in a day where people keep sheep. I mean, there's some people that keep sheep, but not many people keep sheep like it was true in David's day. And yet, Psalm 23 is probably one of the most well-known psalms in the Bible. Little children are taught different verses, and it's been quoted by elderly people in the last moments of life to remind them that they're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You'll find even unbelievers, people that don't know God, don't know Christ as their Savior, some of them know the 23rd Psalm. Some of them can recognize some of the verses in the 23rd Psalm, and it even brings comfort to them. So 3 points to the lesson this morning. The shepherd gives us the guidance we need. Number two, the shepherd walks with us in our difficulties. And then number three, our shepherd gives us security. So we start with verses 1-3. And again, I probably don't need to read them. You can probably all quote them. But let me read them for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the Bible, shepherd is a title that's used from both a political standpoint and a spiritual standpoint. Some of the kings in the Old Testament were referred to shepherds of their people, and their people were referred to as sheep, and so they had responsibility for watching over their people. The Lord is often referred to as a shepherd. The nation of Israel was his sheep. And it's not just limited to the Old Testament. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, and those that follow him, his sheep. Hebrews refers to Jesus as that great shepherd of the sheep. And so David starts out the Lord. Now notice the name that he uses. That Lord is the personal covenant name that when Moses asked God, he said, I'm going to go back to your people. I'm going to tell them that you sent me to tell Pharaoh to let your people go. Who should I say sent me? And God responded at that point, you tell them I am sent you. Yahweh, the great I am. And so David used that personal name of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Not ours, not theirs, not yours, but it's that personal relationship that Adam was talking about a moment ago. My shepherd. In fact, the word is italicized because is was added by the translators. If you read it in the Hebrew, the Lord, my shepherd. The Lord, my shepherd. And again, there are some people that think David wrote it when he was a young man watching sheep on the hills outside of Bethlehem. But many, many people think it was just the opposite, that he was an older man. He'd already passed through many of the difficult experiences in life. He'd already fought many battles. And toward the end of his life, he had a communion with God. Now, we know David, you know, David didn't always do right. He did some things that he was sorry for. He did some things that he shouldn't have done. But at the end of his life, he had a sweet communion with God. His spirit was content in his relationship with God. He had peace of mind and peace of soul. And because of that relationship that David had when he wrote this psalm, he said, the Lord, my shepherd. He was talking about God. And he said this, because of that relationship I have with him, I shall not want. David knew one of the duties of a shepherd was to provide food, water, everything that sheep needed. I mean, again, they're dumb animals. They don't provide for their own needs. A shepherd had to provide every need of his sheep. And so David says, the Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. I am confident that my shepherd will provide my every need. He'll give me everything that I need. Now, verses 2 and 3, because God is his shepherd, it focuses on the guidance and the refreshment that David would get as one of the Lord's sheep. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. Both the word maketh and leadeth in the Hebrew point to the present and the future. And so what David was saying is, he maketh me now to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me now beside the still waters. But what he's also saying, tomorrow he will make me lay down in green pastures. And tomorrow he will lead me beside the still waters. And the day after that, he will do the same thing. And the day after that, he will do the same thing. And so David's saying, because he's my shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. As David was writing, he was looking back over the events of his life. He was looking at the different things that had happened in his life, the things that had been, the things that was, so to speak. And David realized, hey, the life that I have, it just didn't happen because of my will. It just didn't happen because of coincidence. It didn't happen by accident. My life has been directed by God. Now again, David could look back at his life, and he could say, I didn't always walk the path that God told me to walk. I didn't always follow God's guidance. I wandered away from the shepherd at times. I did things that I'm sorry for. I did things, if I had a chance to do them over, I probably wouldn't do them again. But he said, I can tell you, as I look back over my life, as I look at back over everything that I've been through and every situation, every experience in my life, I know that the Lord, my shepherd, has directed my life. And he's made me lay down in those in those pastures. He's led me beside those still waters. Now, maketh me lie down. One word in the Hebrew, maketh me lie down. It means to lie down or to cause somebody to lie down, to have a peaceful, restful pose or that's how you get tired sometimes and the only thing you want to do is just lay down. That's what David was talking about. Here was a sheep that was tired. God, his shepherd, the Lord, his shepherd, led that sheep to green pastures. Now, again, in the English, the word make, we associate it with force. Somebody makes me do something. Against my will, they make me do it. It's not the case used here in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down. He helps me to lie down in green pastures. He finds those green pastures for me. I mean, it was a barren land over there. Grass, in certain times of the year, was a rarity. And it was the shepherd's responsibility to find it for the sheep. The sheep wouldn't find it on their own. Again, they're kind of dumb. They probably don't even know that they need it. So it was left to the shepherd to lead them to that spot of grass and make them, again, not force them, but to allow them, to help them lie down in those spots. The word leadeth means to protect, guide, or carry. And so he led them beside the still water. A sheep wouldn't drink from rushing water. It had to be relatively still. Yeah, I mean, it could flow, but it had to be a slow flow. They wouldn't put their head down and lap water from a fast-rushing stream. And so, again, the shepherd had to find that kind of stream, that kind of water, a pool for their sheep to drink. And so he leadeth them to that place where they could get the refreshment of the water. And the fact that they had a leader meant that they weren't left to wander on their own. They didn't have to get up in the morning and decide, well, we're going to go this way today, or we're going to go this way today. They had a shepherd that made that decision for them. Now, as we apply it to our lives, I'm glad that we don't have to get up every morning and decide which way we're going to go today. I'm glad we, I mean, I know some of us are capable of doing that, but what a shame it is if we take that to ourselves and forget that we have somebody who is our shepherd, who knows what's going to happen today more than we do. None of us know what's going to happen today. I mean, we might know what's going to happen the next couple minutes, but we don't know what's going to happen at noon today. We don't know what happened at 3 o'clock today. We don't know what's going to happen at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We don't know what is going to happen at 9 o'clock tonight. We know nothing, but our shepherd does. He knows what's going to happen throughout the whole day. And so as he leads us, the plan for our life, and again, this always amazes me, God, who created everything and holds it in place. I mean, the book of Colossians says it's sustained by him. Unless he held it together, it wouldn't be held together. This place that we live, this universe that we live in. God, who has all that on his plate, has time to make a plan for my life today. Today. And he'll do it tomorrow. And he'll do it the next day. And the next day. How foolish it is as his children to get up and say, well, I'm going to plan my life today. And don't get me wrong. I think you ought to have plans. You ought to have a schedule. Most people, if they don't have a schedule, they don't get nothing done. Okay? But how foolish it is to make our plans without consulting with the shepherd. Because I guarantee you, God's got a plan for your life today. He'll tell you what it is if you ask him, if you're open to it. Now, if you're more like a donkey than you are a lamb, well, he'll still tell you, but it's going to be harder for him, harder for you. And how much better off if we'd be like a little baby lamb as opposed to an old grizzled donkey who think we know best about how we're going to live our life. And I'm not insulting anybody. Please don't take me wrong this morning. But how much better off we'd be if we'd be like a little baby lamb who looked to the shepherd. That's why I sang that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, this morning. That's what we ought to do. We ought to just lean on him. He's got the day all planned. Hey, he knows what's coming. If we knew what was coming, we might make some different plans for today. But we don't know what's coming. But our shepherd does. And if we'll just lean on him and listen to him and follow him, he'll keep us out of those things that he don't want us to get into today. The things, again, that we don't know that's happening. And so he leadeth us. Oh, blessed thought. We have somebody that leads us. We don't have to wander. We don't have to face today without somebody to guide us and lead us along the way. And sometimes, like a shepherd, he doesn't do this physically, although sometimes we probably need it physically. But I wonder how many times figuratively we've been carried by the shepherd through some of the rough times in life. Had a funeral on Thursday. A guy that he and his dad had come to our church just a couple times. And his dad, for some reason, liked me. And he said, when I die, I want you to get that preacher to preach my funeral. And so he recently passed away, and two of his sons called me, and they came over and visited with me on Thursday. And it was out in Otisville. And so I went out there, and in the little pamphlet they had for their dad, they had that little poem. I don't know if it's a poem or just a piece of writing, Footsteps. About a guy looking back over his life. And in the sand, most of the time during his life, he saw two sets of footprints in the sand. One set of footprints belonged to him. One set of footprints belonged to Jesus, his shepherd. And as he looked back over the times of his life, he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I have something to ask you. I look back over the times of my life, and I look back at some of the times in my life where it was the hard times. It's times where I had burdens, I had heartaches. How come when I look back at those times, I only see one set of footprints? And the story goes that Jesus said to him, son, it was during those hard times of your life that you weren't walking, I was carrying you. And the footprints you saw were just mine. I'm glad that we have a shepherd who not only leads us, but has the power when he needs to pick us up and carry us through the hard times of our life. The Lord, my shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, sheep need that. They can't find it on their own. Neither can we. We can't. We need a shepherd. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, the paths that we ought to walk in. Righteousness is an attribute of God. That's the quality of God. He always does what's right, not according to our standards, not according to the world's standards, but according to his standards, to the standards that never change. And so he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He'll lead me in those paths that I need to walk to do right. He restoreth. He restoreth my soul. That word restore means to refresh or renew. And that word soul talks, it represents a person's whole life, everything they are, their whole being. David learned that his refreshment and his renewal came from being in a right relationship with the Lord. And that wasn't limited to just one part of his life. It affected every part of his life. He restoreth my soul. As he leadeth me in those paths of righteousness, he restoreth to me my soul. I got to stop there. I'm going to get into my sermon this morning. All right. So, like sheep resting on a soft bed of grass under the watchful eye of the shepherd, David knew what it was to have times in his life full of joy and peace, confident he was under God's watch care. Like a sheep led by the shepherd to a gentle stream to be refreshed by lapping up the cool water, David knew what it was to be refreshed and renewed by God when those times in his life came when he was just drained of everything, when he was drained of every bit of energy, when he expended all that he had and he couldn't take another step forward. He knew what it was to be refreshed and renewed by God. Like a sheep who followed the shepherd along the paths, who avoided the pricks of the brambles and the dangers that lurked in the brush, so David had been led along the right way of life, secure and protected by the Lord of righteousness. And so David was the recipient. He knew what it was to have the care of God, the direction of God, the protection of the Lord, his shepherd. But David realized something else was going on. That's what it, there in at the end of verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God did that to David to bring glory to his name. Again, David enjoyed it. He was the recipient of it. He enjoyed the grass. He enjoyed the still waters. But God did it to bring glory to his name. As David received all those blessings from God, as he received his guidance, as he received his protection, as he received his provision, as he was secure under the watchful eye of his shepherd, it was all done so that honor and glory could go back to the name of God. You see, again, talking about names, a name was more important than just somebody, how somebody was identified. A person's name was a way of speaking of their reputation, of their character, of whatever it was that made them different and special. And so the names of God, guys, David wrote, hey, he did all this to bring for his namesake. to bring honor and glory to his name. That's what makes God God. He's our shepherd. He can lead us. He can protect us. He can provide for us. And as he does that, we ought to praise him, because that's how we bring honor and glory to his name. All right, let's go ahead and look at verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. David wasn't just talking about in the psalm how God took care of him when everything was going good, when he was living on the mountaintop, when he had no problems or no heartaches. He was also testifying in this psalm about what he learned about how God took care of him when he was facing the difficult times of life, the hard times of life. David knew that God would provide his need, because David had times of need where God did provide him. He knew that God could refresh and restore him, because he had times where he needed to be refreshed and restored. He knew the joy of walking in the right path, because he knew that it wasn't joy to wander off from that path as he did. And so he writes in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now again, we read that verse, and if you've, most of you have been to a funeral that I performed, you know I use the 23rd Psalm in my funeral service. And I talk about how death for a Christian is just a shadow. It looks like death, but it's not really death. David had walked through the valley of the shadow of death many times. Many times he feared losing his life at the hand of King Saul, at the hand of some wild beast that he protect his sheep from, at the hand of his enemies as he led the army of Saul and then his own army into battle. He walked close to death many, many times. And the Lord had proven over and over again that he could be trusted, that he was sufficient. Other people, and again, other Bible scholars say that the valley of the shadow of death really doesn't have anything to do with death, or not necessarily have anything to do with death. It just talks about valleys that come in our life that's distressing, that are dangerous, that are discouraging. And so they say, in those times when we go into the darkest valleys of life, and again, most of the time, the darkest valleys that we face in life are when we are dealing with the death of a loved one, or we think we ourselves are going to die. Those are pretty dark valleys. David says, I've walked through those valleys. I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And you can interpret any way you want, talking about actual death or talking about times of despair and distress in a person's life. Here's what David says: I will fear no evil. In those times in my life, I'm not going to be afraid of bad things. I'm not going to be afraid of things that are hurtful to me. I'm not going to be afraid. I mean, it may be a distressing valley. It may be the darkest valley that I've ever walked through in my life. But I'm not going to be afraid, because thou art with me. Now, notice the change in pronouns from verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 and 5, he's talking to God. He's talking to God himself. He said, I'm not going to fear. When I walk through those dark valleys, I'm not going to fear, because you are with me. You're with me. And so there's no reason to be afraid when the shepherd's with you. There's no reason to be afraid when God's with you. I mean, and again, you've heard me say, and other people have testified, I don't know how people that don't know God go through life. I don't know how people that don't know God go through the valleys that every life has. I don't know how they make it. I know they go through it in fear, because they don't have the shepherd there with them. But David says, when I go through those valleys, And we can say the same thing when we go through those valleys. We're not going to be afraid because we're not alone. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Thou art with me. And you know, when God's with you, when you are in the presence of God and you feel his presence, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't. We just need to cling to him. We need to hang on to him. He's that solid rock. He's that everlasting arm. He's the one that has been tempted in all points like our way. Don't you ever think that God doesn't know what you're going through. When he walked the face of this earth, he faced, and I can't explain it to you how it happened, but he knows everything we're going through. He does. He knows how to help us because he's been there. I won't fear no evil, for thou art with me. As long as God is with us, we can face anything. Thy rod and thy staff. The shepherds in that day had two tools. They had a rod, which was a club. Okay, they used it to beat off the wild beast that would come and try to attack the sheep. And then they had a staff, a long pole, some of them with a crook on the end of it, that they used to guide their sheep, prod them, keep them in line, round them up. So thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They console me. They have compassion on me. And it's only because of the compassion of the shepherd that he keeps us in that right path, that he keeps us away from danger, that he directs us in the way that we should go. Verse 5, thou preparest a table. You set a table. Why do you set a table? Because you prepared a meal. If you haven't prepared a meal, you don't set a table. You're wasting your time. When you set the table, it means somebody's cooked and has made something to eat. A meal, a time for fellowship, for celebration, for thanksgiving, for recognition. It's another picture of the blessings of God. Thou preparest a table before me. You set the table. The meal is coming. In the presence of mine enemies. One of the responsibilities that a host had back in that day was to protect their guest. And so when they came into your home, you were guaranteeing their safety. And so here was the psalmist saying, talking about the Lord, his shepherd. His shepherd said, hey, you've set the table. A meal's coming. And I know I can sit down at that table and eat because you will protect me from the enemies that might be around me. Now, David had a lot of different enemies. Again, the wild animals would come and attack him, try to get to his sheep. He had political opponents. Saul tried to kill him. Okay, when he became king, he had nations that came against the people of God and tried to kill the king of God. His own family rose up against him. Absalom tried to unseat him and become the king in his place. And so David says, you've set this table for me. A meal is coming, and you're going to protect me from my enemies, whoever they may be. And at this table, David felt like the honored guest because he said, thou anointest my head with oil. It was a way of welcoming a guest to dinner. You anointed their head with oil. Usually it was olive oil. It had a hygienic effect. It had an aesthetic value. It has therapeutic value. I mean, there were various reasons why you anointed your guest head with oil. But it's interesting. In Psalm 23, the word anointest my head with oil, the word oil there comes from a root word meaning to make fat. And so when David was talking about his shepherd anointing his head with oil, he probably wasn't talking about the commonplace olive oil. He was probably talking about an oil that was made from animal's fat with spices mixed in that the shepherd at the end of the day would anoint his sheep with to help the sores, the surface sores on the lamb's wool and skin to heal up. And so David's saying, hey, thou anointest my head with oil. Here's the picture that comes to my mind when I think about that. The scrapes and the cuts and the bruises that I've sustained today from living in this world. God takes this oil mixed with spices and anoints me to help me heal. What a good shepherd we have. My cup runneth over. The cup that sat on the table that had been set. The banqueting cup from which the guest drank. Again, the overflowing cup symbolizes abundance. You know, one of the things I don't like at restaurants is when they bring you a drink and they offer free refills, and you have to wait for them to bring the refill back. Probably relates to my impatience with different things. I just want to say to the waitress, just leave the pitcher here. They can't make my glass overflow because, you know, it couldn't hold it. They'll waste it. But to save you the trip that you're going to have to make again, just leave the pitcher here. Well, David says, hey, I got a cup on this banqueting table. It overflows. It never gets empty. It always stays full and then some. And so David's been talking. He said, the Lord, my shepherd, I don't have any wants. And then he talked about what the shepherd did. He leads me, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David knew that what he got from God, he didn't deserve. Just like we should know what we get from God, we don't deserve. But God gives it, gave it to David, and he gives it to us freely, generously, because he loves us. We're his sheep. He's our shepherd. We didn't pick him. He picked us. He picked us. I'm glad we have that kind of shepherd. All right, let's look at the last verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In verse 1, David described what he knew to be true at the moment. The Lord is my shepherd. In verses 2 through 5, he tells us some of the benefits that had come into his life because the Lord was his shepherd, because of that relationship that he had with God. David knew that what he had in the present was rooted in the past. God had provided before, he'll provide today. Looking at the past and the present, David says what God has provided yesterday and what God has provided today, he will also provide tomorrow. And so he says, tomorrow, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All my tomorrows, the goodness and mercy of God are going to follow me. Goodness means that which is pleasant, becoming, or appropriate. And David said, all my tomorrows, because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm going to continue to enjoy the blessing and the benefits and the things that God provides as my shepherd. That word mercy comes from the Hebrew word chest. It's a love characterized by loyalty and devotion. It's a covenant word. It's the love of God that's backed up by the promises of God. God promised his love to us, and his mercy, his loving kindness, is what he's promised to us. And so David says, I know, based on what I've seen in the past and what I see today, that God's goodness and his mercy are going to follow me. They're going to run after me. They're going to pursue me. They're going to chase me. Again, he didn't have to go begging for God's goodness and mercy. All he had to do was slow down and let him catch him. That's all he had to do. Sometimes we run so fast that the goodness and mercy of God can't catch us. We just need to slow down. It's chasing us. Stop. Be still. Let it catch you. It wants to catch you. It's a promise of God. And he said, David knew it wasn't just a temporary condition. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just tomorrow, but the next day. Not just Tuesday, but Wednesday. Not just Wednesday, but Thursday. Every day of my life, I will be able to enjoy the goodness and mercy of God. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word dwell means stay, live, have one abodes. In the house, it not only talks about the dwelling place, but it talks about being part of the family. I will live in the house and the family of the Lord. Again, that covenant personal name of God, Yahweh, forever. Forever. David said, my communion with God, my relationship with God, what I have with God was not just for yesterday and it's not just for today, but it's going to last forever. I'm going to live with him forever. In John chapter 10, Jesus applied the shepherd picture to himself. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. He says, as the good shepherd, I will lay down my life for my sheep. That's what he did on Calvary. That's what he did on the cross. As our shepherd, he will guide us. He'll guide us to the cross, and then from the cross, every day of our life, until he takes us to the final pasture, so to speak, to heaven, where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Still going to be our shepherd. There won't be nothing to protect us from in heaven. But he'll meet our every need, provide our every need. He'll refresh us in heaven. And we'll dwell there forever and ever and ever and ever. What a good shepherd we have. The Lord, my shepherd. I think I've told you before, a little girl was quoting that verse. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need. And that's all we need, is for the Lord to be our shepherd. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Familiar part of the Bible, but how rich, how sweet it is. Help us to never grow tired of thinking about our good shepherd. Help us to never take for granted what you do for us, directing us, making us to lie down in those green pastures, restoring our soul. Help us to love you more and more every time we think about it. So thank you for this time we've spent in your word. I pray you'll go with us to the service that follows. I pray, Father, that as we lift Jesus up, that there'll be people here that need to receive him as their Savior, and you'll help them do it. Just, again, thank you for letting us spend this time in your word. Go with us into the service that follows. Help us to honor our Savior in everything we say and do. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.